B-Pod Studios.
Making the workday a little more entertaining.
Floppity flop flop flop. There.
It's Zoe and the Beetle on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
It has been a difficult time for our country, in particular, black people in our country. First, my condolences to the families of George Floyd, Breonna Taylor, Ahmaud Arbery, and all the families who have endured police brutality. We, the National Football League, condemn racism and the systematic oppression of black people. We, the National Football League, admit we were wrong for not listening to NFL players earlier and encourage all to speak out and peacefully protest. We, the National Football League, believe black lives matter. I personally protest with you and want to be part of the much needed change in this country. Without black players, there would be no National Football League. And the protests around the country are emblematic of the centuries of silence, inequality, and oppression of black players, coaches, fans, and staff. We are listening. I am listening. And I will be reaching out to players who have raised their voices and others on how we can improve and go forward for a better and more united NFL family.
This is Roger Goodell from over the weekend, what we just played. Roger Goodell with an admission that the league was not right and that they are listening and that they want to make it known to their players that Black Lives Matter. Mark Maskey has this. he's from the Washington Post, longtime NFL writer, one of the best national guys out there. He reports that the NFL's owners mostly were taken by surprise by Goodell's video response, which was published a day after the players put out a video. According to his report, Goodell gave a heads up to a few owners after he decided what he was going to do. And obviously the few owners are likely power brokers in the league, if you will. Wouldn't be surprised if Robert Kraft was one of those phone calls. And he just went ahead and did it. Did you expect to see something from Roger Goodell in that form?
No, in terms of
that straightforward of a statement within 24 hours? I didn't. It caught me by surprise. I didn't even know if he would ever say that.
Threw him in his basement and said, let's go, buddy. Gun to the head. You got to say this. Let's go. Like, who the hell is this? And who stole Roger Goodell? You're like, wow, that actually sounds like a commissioner that heard something, understands it, probably more so than people in his sport, and said, I'm going to change this, and we're not going to do things the way we used to do things anymore. It sounds like I got a pretty good grip on things and an understanding for what's going on out there.
Right. We, the National Football League, some polished, were wrong?
That did not feel like a polished, you know, handwritten statement by some PR firm, you know, trying to say, let's get this message out the way. Let's craft this message, but let's be careful in how we do it. Felt like he was, you know, kind of talking off the cuff there.
We, the National Football League, admit we were wrong for not listening to NFL players earlier and encourage all
later,
to speak out and peacefully protest.
24 hours later, we, the NFL, we were wrong? Holy crap. This is a league that never admits they're wrong about anything.
Yeah. That's a big one right there.
When does the NFL ever say they were wrong about anything? That's just not their MO. That's not who they are.
No.
And here's the boss man. Possibly going out on his own, not informing all of the owners what he was about to do. We, the National Football League, we were wrong. That Maskey story.
How many owners do you think he pissed off there, though? You know,
it's an interesting question.
Yeah,
no doubt about it. An unnamed source told Maskey that most owners are expected to support Goodell's statement. However, some owners, reading now from the Pro Football Talk write-up, some owners expect a backlash from fans whose views on the protests mesh with the president's. Maskey also reports that some wonder about Cowboys owner Jerry Jones, given his past position that players always should stand for the anthem. And so there are owners and there are sources there across the league who are saying, what's Jerry Jones going to say about this? I wonder what Jerry thinks about this. My thought is, wouldn't Jerry have been one of the guys he called, or no? Would he have not called Jerry because he knows knows his stance on it?
Jerry, tell him now, Roger. Now you listen to me now. Here, okay. Here's what we're gonna do. We're not gonna be doing this stuff again. Okay. It seems like it's sort of a tag you're it sort of time right now. Like people say something and they stand around. Okay, well, what's this person gonna say, or how's this group gonna do? And you've seen the individual videos and releases by professional sports teams, whatever league you're talking about. Here we're talking about the NFL, but
right.
The Patriots had their one. It was pretty. Pretty powerful message with the black background and, you know, the white print going across. The Cowboys put out a video of a police chase and how they're going to change things. And it was pretty lengthy, the Cowboys video that they put out. And I think each individual, the Raiders, everybody makes their statement. And it just boom, 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 boom. It comes in one after the other. So I think it's a wait and see here with the Cowboys until Jerry may have to be provoked to say something on it.
So Brendan Minter was an NFL, is an NFL employee, not was, but was the NFL employee who worked to put together the video with players. This is, first of all, the biggest surprise here. The players' video was not put together by the players themselves. Someone who works for the NFL reached out to them about doing the video. This yeah. player went rogue. This according to a report on Yahoo. He's a social media employee of the NFL, and he wrote to – the first guy he wrote to is Michael Thomas, Saints receiver. The same guy was –
his direct message, yeah.
The guy was very critical, obviously, of his quarterback, Drew Brees, at the end of last week. And he wrote him a message. He wrote him a message, according to the Yahoo report, that he knew could get him fired, and he did it anyway. He said, "Hi, Mike. I want to help you create content to be heard around the league. I'm an NFL social employee, and I am embarrassed by how the league has been silent this week. The NFL has not condemned racism. The NFL has not said that Black Lives Matter. I want to help you put the pressure on and arm you with a video that expresses your voice and what you want from the league. Give me a holler if you're interested in working together." And within 15 minutes, Michael Thomas had written back, and 24 hours later, the video was together because Thomas started to reach out to other players in the league, and all of those players came together and recorded their parts of the video and sent it in to this NFL league employee. And during the course of putting it together, he told the supervisor what was going on. The supervisor apparently ran it up the chain at the NFL. And so the NFL was aware of that video before it dropped. They knew it was going to happen, and they decided they were not going to get in the way of it. There's apparently a large group of NFL employees that felt the same way as that rogue employee. They held a sort of a league-wide session with their employees, and that may have influenced Roger Goodell into doing what he did on Friday night with that video. But it's a good question. How many owners did he upset by doing that video? Even the owners who were surprised by it, because the NFL... I mean, when was the last time the NFL did anything like that as a league with their leader, so to speak, doing what he did?
Nothing.
I can't think of anything similar to it.
No. And he actually comes across as a human and not a robot in it. You know what I'm saying? It sounds like
even for him, when he's a human, he's a little robotish. But
yes.
But no, I know what you mean.
You know what? We effed up, and I want to be part of the solution here. You know, not we. It's not we. Like, I'm speaking for the owners. It's like, I'm the commissioner of the National Football League. I'm talking about the National Football League, and this is how we feel. And we would be nothing without black players.
Drew Brees also over the weekend, though, did a 180. He's not apologizing anymore, per se, but he's changed his mind on a topic, and that is the anthem. Through the course of a couple of days, he has completely changed his mind and now is willing to tweet and go at the president over the issue. That story is on the way because I think the league is setting itself up for a major PR battle that they are going to be right in the middle of come this fall. Yeah. We'll get to that coming up. Matthew Slater also had something on Bill Belichick over the weekend. All this is on the way.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Something.
You gotta wear your lucky jersey, don't wash the lucky socks,
rub your ball 16 times. Yep.
Listen to the podcast on the 98.5 The Sports Hub app. Now, back to Zolak and Bertrand on Boston's Home for Sports.
/11:18 here on Zolak and Bertrand. 617-779-0985 is the phone number. Roger Goodell with a video late in the week, over the weekend, Friday night, drops a video out of nowhere. And it completely goes in the opposite direction of what the NFL has typically been on anything outside of football, which is largely spineless. I called them cowards last week. I called their statement hollow. Because their statement didn't mean anything. Their actions have been meaningless over the years. And so now the NFL is jumping right into the fray, man. Jumping in with both feet. Roger Goodell, Friday night. And in the process is straight up telling Donald Trump that we were wrong and our players can pretty much do whatever it is they want to do, is what it is. The NFL has set itself up. You thought Biden and Trump was the battle of the fall. It's now the NFL versus Trump come September or even earlier with preseason games if they are to happen. This is the NFL directly taking on Trump, and we've already seen it. Breeze did it over the weekend with his statement and his message to Donald Trump, and we'll get to that in a minute. But there's already a tweet beef. There's tweets back and forth in the form of Breeze and Trump is tweeting again this morning about the NFL, and this is going to be a thing now. This is now a thing going forward. They caved to him last time. They were afraid of him last time. This time they are not. They're taking it on. That's what they're doing. I'm surprised by that.
Which one's going to need to have more people in the stadiums? You know, whether it's which side, like Trump's the one that says, hey, we want to get back to normal, right? We want to pack those stadiums, get them in there. There's a chance NFL might not have people in the stands. I don't, you know, and hey, we're all going to be checking to see what are you going to do about the national anthem, which guys are going to be kneeling, which guys are going to be standing. It's not really an issue to me anymore, where, you know, you kind of thought at the day one of this process that, hey, everybody's in the same uniform, but he should stand and do the same thing because you're all out there together. And now you understand what this is really all about, and it's not about disrespecting the flag. It's having the right to protest something, and you feel very dearly about and something that's bugging you, and that's the time to do it. And if people are going to take a knee and continue to do that, then that's on them. And there's going to be guys that'll continue to stand because that's what they believe in. But it's not that one's right or one's wrong. It's that you respect the right of the other person next to you, and they're going to protest the way they want to peacefully. And that's what that was.
Drew Brees wrote to @RealDonaldTrump on Instagram, through my ongoing conversations with friends, teammates, and leaders in the black community, I realize this is not an issue about the American flag. It has never been. We can no longer use the flag to turn people away or distract them from the real issues that face our black communities. We did this back in 2017, and regretfully, I brought it back with my comments this week.
Yeah, he did. And he did a complete 180 in, what, 4 days?
He's
pretty impassioned last week as far as telling you about the grandfathers and what it means to him and how disrespectful it is to kneel.
He says, we must stop talking about the flag and shift our attention to the real issues of systemic racial injustice, economic oppression, police brutality, and judicial and prison reform. I'm going to say the same thing about this Breeze statement that I said about his statement last week. Your video is going to mean more. Your video and your actual spoken word will be more impactful.
That sounds like structured, crafted here's your bullet points for 1, 2, 3 of what needs to happen for you to get on the other side here. And put it in print and put it out there and sign your name to it. And so many times we'll see it in print, we'll look at it, and okay, this thing seems like it's repetitive, repeated, and he didn't come up with that. I'm sure he read on it and then put it in print, put it out there, but yeah, he seems more genuine when you see the video. Video always does that with us, right? I mean, you know, sometimes print is taken differently or maybe don't read the tonality of it. I want to hear the person talk about it. That's why, real quick, Beetle, I think if Goodell put that in print, what he said the other day, maybe it seemed would have seemed felt like a structured statement from the league. Here's your bullet points, league. Now you need to put it, put your name to it. Seeing Goodell and hearing Roger Goodell made him, the robot for the National Football League, actually look human. And that's a good thing. Like we talk about it when John Henry came in, you know, and talks. When you talk and you show passion and you want to talk about something, you're like a different guy. You know, as opposed to like, let's just get up here and give you the old spiel once and foremost again. But give me the person. Give me the person talking about it. Go ahead.
Then Donald Trump responded to Drew Brees on Twitter by saying, I'm a big fan of Drew Brees. I think he's truly one of the greatest quarterbacks, but he should not have taken back his original stance on honoring our magnificent American flag. Old glory is to be revered, cherished, and flown high. We should be standing up straight and tall, ideally with a salute or hand on heart. There are other things you can protest, but not our great American flag. No kneeling, is what he wrote. So that is, again, it's less meaningful in tweets and in statements and things of that nature, but I think it's on. And I think there's going to be more between the league and the president going forward, too. And Goodell wants to get right in the mix, which is, in a lot of ways, very surprising, given the history of the NFL. Al's in Sterling. Hi, Al.
Hi. I have a little bit of a comment on this. Going back to when Kaepernick first took his knees, and this whole issue started, I think that was, 4 or 5 years ago, perhaps, 3 years ago, and Trump really started getting on the NFL all about it. And then, as I understand it, the NFL needed help from Trump or asked for it in Canada because they were getting charged transmission fees or advertising fees, and if Trump could go to Canada, request that, which apparently he did, and I think they just sacrificed Cap for that help from Trump, and they got tired of Trump blasting them all the time about it, and they just, you know, sacrificed Cap, blackballed him, and then laid low on it. But now it's gotten too big. I mean, the NFL.
Okay, we're going to let you go there, Al, because you're on a speakerphone and you got a window open or something. And
jeez.
It's probably eating outside.
Wow. You got to
call
us.
No, he's not eating outside.
On the phone or something better than that. But
he's driving with his window down. That doesn't sound like outside eating. What do you put? What are you sitting a merry-go-round? They spin it?
Would you put it above or below the NFL to make a decision like that based on something that basically boils down to money, though? Their original stance on this? I mean, it's a theory that it's as likely. I mean, what would have been the easiest thing for the NFL to do? Take the stance then that they're taking now. You know, in terms of easiest thing for their players, and people are still going to watch. They may not like it. When this whole thing was happening, how often, and we talked about this at the time, how often do you see the anthem performed for a game on television that you're watching at home?
Not often. Right. For you know,
big ones.
Season openers, you typically will get it.
Championships.
A big playoff game or, you know, AFC or NFC title game, might get it.
Maybe Sunday night football, but I don't even know about that. It's not a thing that, you know, is often gets televised. You're going to see photos of it. You're going to have stories about it, you know, as it's happening or the next day. But the easiest thing for the NFL, you know, would have been to say, it's not what we want, and you know we would rather deal without the controversy. But it's a peaceful protest, and you know players are allowed to do that. But they didn't. Why didn't they do it? Well, was it just to appease their relationship with the president? Is it unreasonable to think that there was a money component to it too? Like the caller brought up, I don't think it's unreasonable. But now they're viewing this as something, you know, much larger than a financial cost or maybe hurt feelings from somebody who supports them in the White House. Yeah, they're willing to deal with the hurt feelings, it looks like.
Yeah, as far as the Canadian Super Bowl ad thing happened, I think that had happened at the end of 2018 into the Super Bowl that would have been at the start of 2019, a year ago, which would have been the Patriots-Rams Super Bowl. So I don't know if it played a factor in that or not. I really don't exactly know what the timeline was on when those discussions started. But Hardy, back to your point about, would you put it past the NFL to take a political stance or a real world issue stance based on their money? No, I wouldn't put it past them, and I wouldn't put it past them right now either. That if they think that this is going to make them look good and is going to support them in some way financially, that they'd be doing it this way as well. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, this is
Nike stock hit an all-time high after their Kaepernick commercial.
I mean, it's something now that they look at, and if they're gauging public opinion on the matter, like, oh, I think we maybe should be on the other side of this. Could start hurting us the other way. If you want to believe that Roger Goodell and everybody is just doing this because they're pure of heart and that they've had, you know, some kind of a spiritual awakening over all this. Okay. And some people have. Well, you know, we talked about this last week. People's minds have changed about this. And, you know, something that hardly ever happens. Once you're embedded on a belief or something, especially as political overtones, not a lot of minds are being changed. Some minds are being changed on this. So maybe there's an element of that in the NFL, but just as likely, there's a bigger element of public perception on this matter has changed to the point where we should probably change too.
Matthew Slater had some comments on Bill Belichick and expressed over the weekend in an interview that Bill Belichick has spoken to his players about recent events. We'll tell you what Matthew Slater had to say. That's all coming up next.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Zulak and Bertrand on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Follow these guys on Twitter, at Zoe and Bertrand.
I think Coach has a good, healthy understanding of the gravity of the situation and the times that we're living in. And I think he's done a good job of trying to listen, trying to learn and hear from his players and try to navigate this as best he can. Look, I understand what his job is. His job is to coach the football team and get the football team ready to be successful. And nothing is going to take his focus away from that. But I do think that it's important, as he has done, to hear from his players and understand that, hey, at the end of the day, football is temporary. What we're left with is who we are as people, the values, the beliefs, and our experiences, and the results of those experiences. That's what we're going to be left with. So, you know, I'm sure that he'll continue to be open and receptive to us having dialogue. I'm thankful for what he has done thus far, as far as that process is concerned. And, you know, we'll just see how it goes as we press forward.
Matthew Slater, a Patriots captain, longtime Patriot, on Bill Belichick over the weekend. He was talking to Phil Perry for the Next Pats podcast, NBC Sports Boston. And Matthew Slater gave some credit there to Bill Belichick for trying to listen, trying to learn, and hear from his players and try and navigate the issue as best he can. Are you surprised at all that Bill Belichick has spoken to his players so soon about this? I know that some people have expressed that they were surprised that he spoke to his players at all about what was happening. I'm not, and in a strange way, I feel like our current situation of people being at home means that maybe players and coaches are communicating maybe more frequently at this time of year. Does that make sense at all? So
maybe from a more personal standpoint, because you're checking in so many times. And I think it's also a heightened sense of agitation with everything, because I think as players, you want to be back, you want to be lifting, and you know, this working from home, it's got everybody sort of upside down. You get used to doing it, but ultimately, you want to be in your zone. You want to be with your team. You want to be with your coaches and your teammates. And then you have everything that went down, you know, from what started in Minneapolis to what's going on in the country. You got to live under a rock to not be aware that, and especially Goodell, you know, looking how right. He looked. I mean, what coach wouldn't embrace that or talk about that? I think Bill's got a pretty damn good pulse on his team. Everybody thinks it's always horse blinders and coaching. Yeah, it is to an extent. But read on him. Read on him and his naval background and, you know, the military background, what his dad did, you know, when they came back from war and people walked into the dining hall and he stayed there and ate with them. And, you know, some got up and left. And there's good history there with Belichick and his dad and the Navy and what it taught Bill. And, you know, Bill appreciates his players. He does. And if something's bugging him, I'm sure he's going to get to the bottom of it.
I mean, I think Matthew Slater, in a lot of ways, did him a solid by putting this out there.
Yeah, because Bill doesn't want that. Bill doesn't want to make it about Bill.
No, but I mean, just getting praise for Matthew Slater, right? Could you pick a better person to be receiving praise from, like a better guy to be?
Him and McCourty. Yeah, it's Slater's the ultimate patriot, right? I mean, anytime you request an interview or somebody needs to talk or there needs to be an event done, somebody at it, Slater's the guy, right? McCourty's up there, too. It's the same, but yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah, they have great leadership in that locker room. They got guys that care about their football team, and I think Bill would give them the voice.
Which is why I'm doing it. When I read it, I do find it believable that he's listening. I don't know what his opinion is. No one really knows exactly what his opinion is on the matter of kneeling and protesting during the anthem. I know that there was plenty of speculation about it back in 2017, but the fact that it's probably coming from guys like Devin and Jason McCourty and Matthew Slater on this particular team, that it probably resonates with Belichick on some level because he thinks so highly of those guys as football players and likely as people as well.
Absolutely. And if those right? guys are a-holes and conducting themselves in a bad manner within the walls or outside the walls, then Bill wouldn't give them the voice. You know, they've earned that voice. They have. As a player, as a team leader, you know, you speak for us. You're the captains. You two guys are the captains. You speak for us.
No, but I'm talking about impersonally, though.
Yeah.
You've said it. You know, people, and Hardy, you've said it too. We've all said it, that people are changing their minds, and you don't really see people change their minds very often on anything. But in terms of whatever his own personal beliefs are about it, he may be swayed considering who is speaking to him about the issues.
Yeah, and look at Bill. Bill's changed over the years, too. He even practices. He used to be a drill sergeant, and we're doing 2 days, this and that. Now he knows it goes into walkthroughs, takes guys to Fenway Park, takes them to the movies. He's changed. And you got to change and adapt with times and your team. And if you're doing that, then you're definitely going to be receptive and have the ability to talk to your players and understand them and help them out, especially with these type of concerns. And I'm that football's menial. Practice is menial. And if Bill's going to change into that, imagine what he's going to do from a personal level with a player.
617-779-0985. Mary is in Florida today. Hi, Mary.
Hi there. How are you?
Hi, good. Mary.
Listen, I'm calling from Sarasota, Florida, formerly from Wellesley, Mass.
Nice.
And I just wanted to say, when we were kids, we used to pledge allegiance to the flag. And the last line is justice for all. And I think everybody should just say to themselves, justice for all, and take a knee at a football game. Because Roger Goodell was way behind, and now that he's finally coming to the forefront, I appreciate the fact that he's looking and saying to himself, maybe my players were right.
Okay. Thanks, Mary.
Yeah.
Appreciate the call.
It is. I mean, it is funny. Like, I don't know what happens at the beginning of all schools anymore. Zoe, you and I were in elementary school in the 70s, right?
Yeah.
Every day, the Pledge of Allegiance and the National Anthem. That's how every day began. I don't think it begins like that every day now in public schools. Like that, it seems like...
Our kids, they've rotated. It's gone from the oldest to our youngest now, and he's in fifth. And they pick one kid in the school, and he reads the announcements of the day. And then he leads the school in the Pledge of Allegiance. That's how they do it.
So they still start with the Pledge of Allegiance
every
day.
They read the announcements, what's on tap for the day, something big, or we got a pep rally or whatever.
Right.
You know, this is what we got, or Mr. So-and-so's got his big event tonight. Make sure we go by his room, and then, okay, please rise for the Pledge of Allegiance, and they lead the class in that.
Yeah. I can't remember what it was like in middle school or high school, but I mean, I distinctly remember Pledge of Allegiance, national anthem, every day before school started. So I'm not saying like anybody who has a problem with this is somehow just, you know, oh, stupid, just get over it. If it's ingrained in you, like from an early age, that this is what you do and this is how it is to be done, and anything less than that is unacceptable, you don't do it. I understand it's tough for some people to get over, but as Goodell has said and as Drew Brees has said, it's less about the anthem now and it's more about the other issues. And I think when people like kind of come to that understanding, that's where they can start to wrap their head around it and maybe change their opinion as to like how important is it that we're all standing up or all we're doing this at the same time, or is there something else going on that's more important in the minds and the lives of a lot of our players that we need to pay as much attention to also. But it's tough. I mean, for generations, you know, it was like that. And that's, you know, that's where these guys are starting from. That's their starting point. Not necessarily a point of racism or, you know, their adherence to some kind of systemic racist policy. It's just, no, this is what I've always done. This is how, that's how I was brought up. This is what you do. And it's tough for some people to get past that.
Let's go to Dave in Chelmsford. Hi, Dave.
Hey, how you doing, guys?
Hey.
I just feel like that with this whole anthem thing, it's really been a very divisive type of thing, which really dividing people, and that this has gotten a lot of attention, and it's obviously a real problem in this country, and it needs to be fixed. And now that it's got that type of attention, why can't the NFL try to bring everyone together in the sense that, hey, we're going to kneel for 5 minutes before the anthem, and therefore an entire team can do it. It's bringing unity amongst everyone instead of dividing people, and then standing for the national anthem because you're proud of your country. But here's this issue that NBC and all these places can really focus on and say, hey, there's still a big problem. These people are still hurting.
It can't come from the league, though. Dave, it can't come from the league. It can't be a directive from above, from a boss to an employee. It's got to be organic. It's got to be put together by the players. And by the way, none of the players have offered up what their intentions are for the fall. This may not even be something they plan on doing.
Right.
They might say, you know, that's not something we're doing this year. We're doing something different. Yeah. But it's got to be organic, and it cannot come from the top down and have the appearance of what Jerry Jones had back in 2017 when everyone's going to take a knee and lock arms, and then we're going to stand together. Like, that was cheesy, and it was forced. And that's not what it can be again. If it's organic, then I'd say, great, you know, terrific. You know, you can bring people together instead of being divisive, as Dave, you just brought up. So I get what you're saying, but I hope it doesn't come from the top down. I hope it's among players that decide to do whatever it is they decide to do. This Dayton Show history is coming up. We've also got Bruce Arena set to join us at 12:50 today. This Dayton Show history is next.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone. Got an itch for sports talk while you work?
So just dropped his phone down his shirt.
You want to know why? He was using it to scratch his back.
Solak and Bertrand on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Where we're going, we don't need roads.
I don't like that edit. I thought we talked about that edit. Thought we weren't adding that in. Oh, we got a new graphic for this Dayton Show history today, June 8th. Is it a good one? I think you told us it was a good one this morning, Jim.
I've been told that it's an excellent This Day in Show History.
I don't know if I approved any of the characterizations of ourselves in
the new graphic.
But take our heads. And I just bit my tongue again.
You okay?
Yep. You heard it right there. Son of a... God.
All right.
We gonna lose you here for a minute?
No.
You bleeding?
Get me pissed off now about the damn characterizations of our mischaracters.
Are you bleeding?
No.
That's what we want to know.
I chunked it good. Okay. Why is Hardy dressed as 007?
I'm dressed as George McFly at the Enchantment Under the Sea dance.
Hey, you take your damn hands off her.
So we've got Beetle as Marty McFly.
Yeah.
Zoe is Professor Klump or whatever his name. What was his name in that movie? Dr. Brown.
Doctor, yes. Ian Brown, right?
And
no, Ian Brown. What the hell am I thinking?
I'm George McFly in the white dinner jacket.
Who's Tom?
Who's Tom? Is Tom Biff?
Tom looks like some
pervert. That's what I thought, yeah, no?
Loth, you're the school principal, aren't you?
I think Louth is the school principal, yes.
Straighten that tie, McFly.
It's Biff from 2. When they go to the future.
Oh. How come I'm not
Can we talk about the quality of the Photoshops?
They're trying over there. I know they're not at full deck.
Wait, who told you it's Biff from 2, Jim?
TV.
Oh.
Oh, here we go.
Oh, God.
Fowler chiming in. This is Fowler's work here.
Yeah.
This is what he spent his weekend doing.
I think it's nice. I think the Zolak and Bertrand text is very Back to the Future-like.
Yep. You got the clock up there. Clock's up there. You see the lightning.
Yep.
Loth looks like he's going to some really bad wedding. Jim, yeah, you're
getting
your daughter
works.
Away.
I think it
like
works.
Jim looks all proud there in that tux.
I think it works. All right, let's get to these dates and show history, gentlemen.
June 8th, what do we got?
Here we go. We are going to go backwards on this day in show history to 2016, where Zoe confused a couple of NBA players. Oh. And according to their Twitter account, Legal Seafood is offering Kevin Durant free crab legs if he signs with the Celtics this summer.
Why don't you just buy him a gym so he could lift weights?
Yeah, well played, Zoe.
Skinny fat.
Kevin Durant? Skinny fat?
I'm sorry, I thought you said Kevin Love. Give Kevin Durant all the crab legs you want. Oh, he said NBA Finals. We're going to talk about that next. Ding, ding, there goes. I got to go.
Did you notice?
Two very different players.
Did you notice the headline bed was the old Monster Mash?
Man, yeah.
Yeah.
Let's rock it. Yes.
Really good.
Beetle, do you remember the very
Sports
first
one? Headlines.
I want to reserve. I don't want to get.
What was the first one?
Yeah.
What was the first
one? I'm just going to put it to you straight, Hardy. I don't want to piss anybody off.
What?
Yeah. Sports radio that rocks, etc.
No, the first headline bed was the really up-tempo.
I don't remember that.
Yeah, I remember that one. I remember that one. I do.
All right, let's go to 2015 here. We're jumping around a little bit. Brandon Spikes, released by the Patriots.
Huh.
And then he crashed his car on 495.
Yeah, the Maybach, right?
Left it there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And
smart.
Oh, boy, did we get phone calls.
Was he driving the Batmobile? Because obviously, if I was in a car driving a car that got hit from the rear, and I had two passengers, I think one of us would have seen the car.
The car.
What? What does the Batmobile have to do with it?
Well, because it was blacked like out and it was driving with no lights on, right?
Yeah, no lights on. It was blacked out. It's like the Batmobile.
Yeah, it did. It did have a Batmobile appearance to it.
Hey, that thing was. I do. Oh,
hold on.
Was he driving the Batmobile? Because obviously, if I was in a car driving a car that got hit from the rear, and I had two passengers, I think one of us would have seen the car.
The car.
The car. yeah, didn't his buddy come and get him? Wasn't that what happened?
Yeah.
Yeah, boy.
just left it.
Yeah.
They'll never know it was me.
$100,000 car. We're just going to leave it here. Let someone else find it.
Maybe we'll come back and get it in the morning with a tow truck.
What was it? Was it a Bentley? Was it a Maybach? What was it?
It was a Mercedes.
Yeah, or a Maybach. Mercedes.
But he had it painted so it was matte.
Matte
finish.
Yeah, matte black.
I do like that.
Yuck.
All on right, a Mercedes.
On that one.
Also, in 2015, shiny black. Caller from the Cape. It turned out to give us one of the show's all-time favorite drops. Do you know what this is? Called it from the Cape.
Chat room.
Is it chat?
Ah, yeah, I'm with Zoe. It's got to be that.
Damn it. You guys figure these things out.
Yeah, chat room.
Is it Cape all-time? Chat room.
Chat room.
Mudslides. Yeah.
All right, let's try Don on the Cape again. Hi, Don.
How are you doing?
Good. Hi.
What's up, Zoe?
What's up, man? That's Cape.
I'm a kid. It's a chat room.
Nice.
Nice.
Okay.
Listen.
Play it again. It's a chat room.
I'm a kid. It's a chat room.
Nice.
Nice. Listen.
Nice. Then he just keeps going. Yeah, listen.
I'm a kid. It's a chat room.
What is that?
Finally, the best drops from this date in show history.
Oh, boy.
8 June. Throughout the show's history has given us so much, including these nuggets.
We are the Boston Red Sox.
Is Zoe on?
Sipping on Donkey Nice.
There's also, he's been telling us for months he ain't fit for this town.
What?
He ain't fit for this town.
Cup solo.
Take Disney World and shove it.
Shove it up your...
The first...
Jesus.
He just yells, shove it up your A.
I didn't say that.
He did.
No. No, play it again.
That was Zoe.
That was Zoe. I floored me. I stopped it. I couldn't go back.
This town.
Cup solo.
Take Disney World and shove it.
Shove it up your...
The first...
I didn't say that.
You did. You can hear the S.
That's when you're creative.
It's bleeped out, and then you can hear the S.
No, we didn't even bleep it back then. We bleeped it now. We dumped it back then.
Oh, well. It was a different time.
I'm like, wait, what?
That wouldn't happen nowadays.
No, definitely not.
Oh, now we love Disney World. They're helping us get sports back.
Yes.
Hooray, sports.
Thank you.
Sports and movies.
Hooray, sports. Speaking of Disney World, more details from the NBA's plan for a comeback. We've got some more from over the weekend. We'll address all of that coming up right after headlines.
I'm a kid. It's a chat room.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.